This is a business radio show where we talk about the craziness of small business. It's that craziness that actually makes it exciting, interesting, and totally unpredictable. This is Business Insanity Talk Radio with your host, Barry Maltz.
Welcome to Business Insanity Talk Radio. This is your host, Barry Maltz, and this is the final word in small business. For those keeping track, this is show number 332. This episode is provided by Sage One, an online accounting and business service solution for every small business. It's also provided by Nextiva, the answer to all your business communication solutions in the cloud. Well, if there are two buzzwords for 2015, the first one's mobile, but the second one has to be the cloud. One of the questions that I get asked when I travel around the country every week speaking to small business owners is, I know I need to get to the cloud, but where do I start? Here to help is Thomas Hansen. He's the Vice President of Microsoft's Small and Medium Business Organization Worldwide. He's responsible for a team of sales, marketing, and partner management professionals to ensure Microsoft's ecosystem of partners delivers technology-based, high-value experiences meeting the unique needs of over 100 million small businesses across the world. Thomas, welcome to the show.
Thanks a lot. Thanks for the invite.
So a lot of folks know that they got to go to the cloud, but as with so many different things, there's a lot of conversation around it. They don't exactly know where to start. Where should they start, or at least start their thinking?
Well, look, not all companies are in a position to move all their data and applications to the cloud in one big drive, in one big push. So I think in most cases, it makes sense to do a classic step-by-step approach, where you prioritize some of your data and some of your applications over others. And for most companies that I work with, that our partners work with, email is a great first step. So move forward with a cloud-based email client, and you and your employees will enjoy the same familiar experience. But you as a small business, you won't bear the burden of managing an email server yourself. So that's a nice, easy way of starting. Another great area to go to is to do cloud backup. So making sure that all your data is sitting in a redundant, reliable, secure environment in the cloud. So if disaster hits, you've got a full backup of your data and you can run your business.
So it's a good place to start. But tell me about cloud-based email system or email client. What do you mean by that? There are a lot of small business owners that are still using their Yahoo or their Google account. You mean something else, right?
Yeah, in this case, I'm talking about, in Microsoft terms, Outlook, Exchange Online in the cloud. It's really an enterprise class service, but made available to small and medium-sized businesses at a price point that they can afford, that they make sense with no upfront investment. But I think on a more familiar level, look, the notion of public cloud is still surrounded by fear, uncertainty, and doubt, mm-hmm. I find, with many businesses, also in North America. And look, think about it in a simple way. It's the technology equivalent of a public utility, really meaning it's you as a small business paying for IT resources as you use them, just like you pay for electricity or water. So as you think about the public cloud, for example, Office 365, you're up and running fast with email and cloud backup. You can scale up and down as you need, as your team expands. And your team can collaborate in real time across multiple devices, multiple, say, tablets, PCs, computers, Macs, phones, you name it, across multiple locations. And again, with that enterprise-level security, reliability, and redundancy.
I love the idea that you compare this really, Thomas, to a public utility. But the good news is, in this case, you actually have a choice who you use as a cloud provider, unlike so many times in public utility. How do you make that choice?
I find that most small businesses, no offense meant, they are really good at running their business, but they may not be technology experts, and typically they don't have IT specialists on their in the team, in that company. They may have a son, a daughter, an aunt, an uncle, a dad, a mom, a neighbor, a friend that knows a little bit or knows a lot. But what I typically recommend is you as a small business owner, focus on running your business and then contract work with a local trusted IT partner that can advise you on IT, but always with a sense of also understanding business. So choose a technology partner who can do the heavy lifting whilst you focus as a small business on running and growing your business. And we as Microsoft, we can point you to great partners that can offer you great Microsoft technology and technology from all the providers, because as you say, there's a choice and there's many great solutions out there today.
Now, you know, a lot of small business owners, of course, they're always concerned about what is this going to cost? It's a great solution, but is it going to be too costly for my small business? Talk about that, Thomas.
I think the most appealing thing about the cloud for small business is that it reduces the upfront cost associated with buying servers, hardware, and software, in addition to the time and the money required to manage and maintain such infrastructure. In other words, there's no money really upfront that you need to invest. It's a monthly ongoing small fee per user, and it really means that you only pay for what you use. And that is a huge advantage for growing businesses or companies that have variable staffing needs throughout the year, such as retail during the holidays. The cost itself is also extremely affordable. We start with free offerings of, for example, our email on outlook.com. And if you move to a pay-for service with the enterprise class reliability, redundancy, security, with Office 365 subscriptions, they start at only $5 per user per month. And that comes with email, unlimited cloud storage backup with OneDrive and Office Online and much more. So, you know, it's not a high cost to get going. And using an interface that more than a billion people use every day. It's a familiar interface. It's Office.
Yeah, absolutely. We're talking with Thomas Hansen, who's the Worldwide Vice President of Microsoft Small Business. I think one of the biggest reasons to go do this is, Thomas, is there's a huge risk of really not doing it. You mentioned a couple things. One is backup. If today you don't back up your systems, you're in big trouble because there are a lot of hackers out there that are targeting small business, right, because they have the least defenses.
Absolutely. I mean, IT security is a very, very, very real issue today. The fundamentals of having backup in place, it really is a very cheap insurance for ensuring business continuity. In today's world, not only are there physical risks to your business, as there's always been, including what can be caused by natural disasters, but there's, of course, also the security risks online. So my strong recommendation, as I said, is move to the cloud, and some of the areas I would say focus on first is your email, it's your backup, and it's really quite a painless process. And as I said, the payment model means that there just aren't the same financial risks that would accompany a major on-premise IT investment. So it should be fairly straightforward. And again, we as Microsoft, we can help you in connecting you with a great partner. And I would say, as a small business, ultimately, please remember that not taking action can have a much larger cost.
Absolutely.
So don't just still get moving.
Yeah, absolutely. The other thing you mentioned, a place to start, was really to have your own email client. I think this is really important because so many small business owners, they stay on Yahoo, they stay on Google and Gmail. These are free services, and a lot of times things go wrong with these things, and you can't really count on them. You really have to have your own to make sure your business keeps running, right?
Well, there's that component. I actually think there's a much more important component about it, and that's about your company. It's about your brand, how you display yourself, how you portray yourself. So, get your own domain, get your own website. Our partners can provide great solutions for how those can be set up and run at, very, very low cost a month. And make sure that you have an email that's coming from CEO at yourcompany.com, not at
Gmail or Yahoo, right? You end up looking pretty dull. One of the other things that I like about the cloud solutions from Microsoft is that you're really able to use them across a lot of different platforms. They've really become platform agnostic, right?
Yeah, we're very clear on the fact that we certainly want to be the productivity company for all users out there. So our solution, Office 365, that offers email, offers, cloud backup, IP telephony, and video conferencing, you can use across Android devices, Mac, Apple devices, and Windows devices. Now, of course, we'd love to get SMB, small, medium businesses out there onto a Windows platform, but we offer a great experience across all devices. And of course, the thing that is so wonderful about it, reality today, and I'm of course very pragmatic about it, is that many people have more than one devices, and many people have devices that one may be running on iOS, another one may be running on Windows. The great thing with the cloud is whatever device you're powering up in the moment, at that minute, you get instant access to the same document, to the same email, in the same familiar interface on whatever device that runs on whatever operating system you may be on. Now, that to me means simplicity. It means you can get on with your business and be productive. I think that makes a big difference to small businesses that just today doesn't have unlimited resources and time.
Thomas, I do that all the time as I travel with my Surface 3 and my iPad for entertainment, my Surface 3 for business. It's whatever I'm using at the time. Thomas, thanks so much for being on the show. Where can people learn more about Microsoft in the cloud?
The very best place to go is to Microsoft.com. Fantastic information, and we'll love to get you to visit. Thanks for the invite. I appreciate it, Barry.
Thomas, thanks so much. Coming up next, not all of us are really made to be entrepreneurs. Some of us, like me, end up there by accident. Coming up, one of the first executives of Groupon talks about her experience and how she's using it to fund startups today. This is AM560 The Answer. We'll be right back.
Stuck in traffic? We've got the answer from the ChicagoRadioDeals.com traffic center.
I'm George Cotterillo's taking a look at your traffic. Got a couple problems there on the Edens inbound. It's going to be shut down at St. Charles, all because of a crash on the outbound side that has Mannheim blocked off involving a motorcycle. Crews on the scene investigating. Could be there for a little bit longer. On the tollways, you will see some road work happening on the Tri-State Southbound 2E to the Jane Addams. Also on the Jane Addams eastbound between Route 53 and the Tri-State. Taking this traffic report is brought to you by the City of Chicago's Blue Cart Recycling Program. Remember to break down your cardboard boxes and put them in the blue recycling cart. Visit ChicagoRecycles.org to learn more. That's ChicagoRecycles.org. And remember, recycling, it's not trash. AM 560 weather right now, it is 64 degrees with fair skies. Our next update will be in 15 minutes on AM 560, The Answer.
The Supreme Court upholds Obamacare.
Chief Justice John Roberts running for a 6-3 majority upholding the way the IRS...
And same-sex marriage.
A sweeping ruling authored by Justice Anthony Kennedy.
And this ruling is a victory for America.
And terrorists strike in France and Tunisia.
At least 27 people are dead after two gunmen opened fire on a...
We're the only station in Chicago talking about these stories and what they mean for you. What happens next happens here on AM 560. The Answer.
The greatest business story is yours, and it's still being written. Whether your business has been around 20 days or 20 years, the Sage Summit Conference is the place to have powerful conversations with peers, leaders, dreamers, and doers to be inspired by innovative ideas, people, and discoveries. Well-known speakers, fearless thinking, social scenes, just for you training, innovation, and discovery. 4 action-packed days. What will your business story be? Find out July 27th through 30th in New Orleans to write this next chapter. Go to sagesummit.com to register. The journey into entrepreneurship is no easy feat, but the reward is like no other. Just ask entrepreneur Nellie Acow, founder and CEO of CorpNet.com, who's been a business owner since 1997. CorpNet can help you start a business, incorporate your business, form an LLC, file a DBA, and file many other important business documents in all 50 states. To get started, call their team today for a free business consultation. Call 888-752-0363 or visit CorpNet.com.
Here's Dr. Howard, formulator of Balance of Nature, an all-natural, 100% organic fruit and vegetable supplement.
Did you know 40% of all cancer could be prevented? That's a fact. Along with maintaining appropriate body weight and regular exercise, the American Institute for Cancer Research and the USDA confirm that eating 9 to 11 servings of fruits and vegetables every day is the key. Now ask yourself, am I at risk? How many servings of fruits and vegetables did I eat today? Balance of Nature has solved this problem and provides an easy and affordable way to consume over 10 servings of 31 different whole fruits and vegetables every day.
Get real today with Balance of Nature's fruits and veggies. Call toll-free 800-246-8751. That's 800-246-8751. Or go online to balanceofnature.com and be sure to enter promo code Chicago.
Stick around and get your small business unstuck. More of Business Insanity Talk Radio with Barry Maltz. Now on AM 560, The Answer.
Well, when I graduated college, I had one goal for my entire business career, and that was to be president of IBM. But 10 years later, I left to start my entrepreneurial journey, and a lot of us really are entrepreneurs by accident. Here to tell her story is Jana Cook. She's the CEO and partner at EventUp. As Vice President of Business Development at Groupon, Jana was integral in executing the company's early sales and partnership strategies. She helped launch various national and local sales strategies, successfully close the two largest deals to date with national retailers Gap and Nordstrom. She was responsible for creating 25% of the entire company revenue in 2009, 10% of gross revenue in 2010. Jana has also started her own foundation, Closet Angels, has invested in several successful Chicago startups, including one of my favorites. In fact, I'm wearing their shoes today, Bucket Feet. And, of course, I eat protein bars all the time. Jana, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Barry. Appreciate you having me.
I love the guys at Bucket Feet. I'm wearing my pineapple grenade shoes in the studio today.
Oh, I love the pineapple ones. Those are great. I saw a new flamingo pair I've got my eyes on.
Oh, I just love those guys. So you really took an unlikely path to your current position. Talk about that and how a chance meeting with Brad Keywell really started all out.
Yeah, I mean, I think that I kind of always had entrepreneurial bug in me since I was little, but I don't think it really was something that I realized was happening or you know, coming about. So long story short, I had run into Brad, completely coincidental. I was happy in the position that I was doing in Michigan. And he basically said, you know, hey, I'm starting these companies. Do you want to come look at them? And I was, sure, why not? You know, I was in Chicago at the time. So we took a look at the different companies that he was working on. Inner Workings was always already pretty up and,
right.
Pretty much up and going. And then there was Echo Global Logistics, which was what we started with that, was really in its infant stages and, it had a really exciting timeline as well.
So how important, I see all these different studies and I believe it myself that one of the most single factors that really helps an entrepreneur, small business owner is really to have the right business mentor. How important has Brad been to you?
I mean, I think it's been just a real integral part of, my entire career. And I think that when you're surrounded by innovative people and, people that, quite frankly, are more intelligent than you are, I think there's just an opportunity to learn. And, I try to take advantage of that as much as I can. And it's been great to, work with him and, see what he's been able to do with all his different companies as well. And, I think that those partnerships and the people in your life that can influence you are just really, really helpful.
And so what do you do today? I know with Closet Angels, you really mentor a lot of tech entrepreneurs in Chicago. Tell us about that.
Yeah, I mean, I think that I use the word mentor lightly because I think a lot of it is really finding somebody that you connect with. So I think there's a lot of pressure out there to find a mentor and, let's talk to this person because they've successfully done something in this space or this business. But I think really you can get a lot out of having multiple conversations. I mean, there's definitely people that I meet with on a weekly or monthly basis that, we're working on different strategies for them, whether it's sales or just business development, every kind of different stage. I think it's important to continue those conversations because not only am I hopefully teaching them something from my, experience, but generally they're teaching me something too. So it's a two-way relationship, which is really nice.
We're talking with Jana Cook. She's the CEO and partner at EventUp. Jana, so what special issues or special challenges do women entrepreneurs face when they first get started?
Yeah, I mean, I think that it's always challenging because it's not your peer group. I think that's probably like the baseline, in my opinion, of the difference. Like you go out with your friends and if you're a trader, for example, you're talking to all your trader friends and you're talking about what's going on and what's new and what's happening and how you can get better at your position. Like it's just not as natural of a position because it's not in your peer group. And so I think that's the challenge, being comfortable with being surrounded by so many different, so many different men really in the industry, right? I think there's about 4% of women are in actual technology. So just being comfortable with that, being sure that you're on the same page with them, being sure that you can voice your opinion and, really just look at it like on an equal playing field.
Well, Sheryl Sandberg always talks about lean in. You talk about dive in. So what does that mean?
So I think that I love what she's done and what she's saying. I think that, especially in the very beginning stages of any company or any business or any entrepreneur, I think that a lot of people get held up on the reasons why it won't succeed. And I think that instead of looking at it and kind of lean, you just got to dive in. Like you've just got to get in the pool, like jump in and see if you can swim. And so I think that, just probably more applicable at the beginning stages in the entrepreneurial world of just go for it. Just get in there and start.
And so what do you say to people when they're really afraid of failure? What role do you think that failure really plays in the growth of an entrepreneur?
Oh, I mean, it's huge. I think that's probably, I mean, I would argue to say it's probably the number one reason why people don't take the leap of faith, or they don't, you know, start a business, or they don't try something, is because of the fear of failure. I mean, it definitely keeps me up at night, I'm not going to lie. I think it's just something that you have to get comfortable with, like being comfortable in your, you know, uncomfortable zone is kind of what I like to call it. And just realizing that it's a real big possibility, but you've got to be able to do everything you can to make sure that doesn't happen.
So a lot of folks, when they start out, they're thinking, you know, I want to be the next Groupon, right? I want to be the next Brad Keywell or Brad Lakofsky or whatever it is. Is that a good way to think of it? Or these guys or these people are really just one in a billion, and that's really a bad idea to shoot that high?
No, I think it's great to shoot that high. I think it's absolutely great to shoot that high. I mean, I think that that's why you get in. You know, some people, that's why they get into it. That's what they want. That's what they, you know, strive for. I think that if that's what you want, I'm not saying that that's not what you can get, but I would argue to look at it in a different way of, well, can I start 10 businesses? Can I do this? Can I do that? Instead of, that's what I want to be. Like, what do I really want out of that? Do I want the notoriety, or do I want, you know, the stress of running 5 companies, or do I want to be able to invest in new people and new companies? Like, what is it about that position that you really want? And I would chase that probably more than anything.
And I think that's an important part of it, Jaina, because you really have to think about, what is your definition of success? I've said time and time on this show that my definition of success is being able to support my family at something I love doing. Now you've gotten involved in nonprofits. What's your definition of success?
Oh, God, that's a hard one. I think for me, it's constantly changing. And part of my definition of success is just continuing growing and trying different things. And, you know, I really like the early stages of any company, building the brand, kind of setting the operational and procedural, you know, specifications that need to go on throughout a company to make it really work. Like the inside, you know, nuts and bolts of it is what I really like. And so to continue to take on more responsibility and hopefully just, you know, get larger and bigger companies going.
You know, you bring up a really good point, because I think a lot of entrepreneurs have to realize they're really good at certain parts, certain stages of the growing of a small business. For me, I really love the startup. But I have to tell you, once it got to 100 people, I was done.
Yep.
And what are you like?
I'm absolutely in the same boat. I mean, it's less probably about the people, but more or less about the innovation and the overall, like, company culture, I would say. So if you were a Groupon, for example, I mean, we had 500 people on the floor, but we were still able to just move like we had 10 people on the floor. So that was really great. When it got to the stage, like, okay, we're going to go public and here's this red tape. And, you know, part of the red tape that I created was the red tape that I ended up wanting to get away from anyway.
Exactly.
You know, exactly. And I think it's important too, like, as an entrepreneur and as somebody that's starting a company and business, to understand that, like, this might be something you're really good at. And if your skill set is that, you're probably not going to have the same skill set to run, you know, a 2,000-person company at a very well level. Maybe you can, but most people can't make that transition.
Yeah, most people can't. Well, in the last minute we have left, tell us about this nonprofit that you founded, Closet Angels, and the good work you're doing here in Chicago.
Oh, thanks. So Closet Angels, it's a 501c3. And what happens is designers donate their clothing to us. So we partnered with some really great partners like DVF, Chloe, Oscar de la Renta. They donate their clothing, we resell it, and then all the proceeds go to support St. Jude Children's Research Hospital.
I think that's really great. So how did you transition from being part of all these super startups, super successful business in Chicago, and now working for a non-for-profit?
Well, I mean, that's something that I did, and I spent a good year on it, now kind of up and running, and I don't have to really necessarily look at it on a day-to-day basis, but my real focus is Events Up at the time.
And so tell us about Events Up in the last 30 seconds we have, and what great things we should look for from it.
Yeah, so Events Up is just a platform where you can find any event or venue space. So whether your company is looking to have a holiday party or you want a rooftop in River North, it's just kind of making that process online available, easy, and organized for you to access that information.
And what's the best place for people to find you, Jaina?
Just eventup.com, eventup.com.
Jaina, thanks so much. Next time you see Brad, tell him I said hello.
Okay, thanks, Barry. Appreciate it.
This is Barry Moltz. It's Business Sanity Talk Radio. This is AM 56 The Answer. We're going to be right back.
It's become a summer tradition. And on July 18th, the tradition continues. It's Rockin' for the Troops 2015 with Gary Sinise and the Lieutenant Dan Band.
Let's rock for the troops tonight, right? Are we rocking for the troops?
At Contini Park in Wheaton.
Everybody clap your hands. Come on.
Get your tickets before they're gone. Stop by Jewel Osco stores in Wheaton, Naperville, or Bolingbrook. Or visit 560theanswer.com and search for the keyword rocket.
Fox News Radio, I'm Gary Baumgarten. The manhunt continues for David Sweat, the escaped murderer in upstate New York who is still alive.
A little piece of evidence comes in and you can say, yeah, okay, he's here, or they've been here, they've been there. And you know you're getting closer. Instead of being 3 or 4 days behind him, now you're a day or two behind him. And yesterday it caught up to Mr. Matt.
Franklin County Sheriff Kevin Mulvihill, referring to Richard Matt, the other escapee who was shot and killed by federal agents. In Charleston, South Carolina, three more members of a black church who were shot by a white man laid to rest.
We will make this right. We will make this right. They will not have died in vain.
Governor Nikki Haley. Shots fired near the Gay Pride Festival in San Francisco. One bystander attending the event shot in the arm. Cops say the dispute was unrelated to the festival. Fox News, we report. You decide.
How can you get from here to there? We've got the answer from the ChicagoRadioDeals.com Traffic Center.
George Cotsarillo's taking a look at your traffic. No problems to report on the Edens, the Kennedy, the Eisenhower, or the Stevenson. Dan Ryan, I-57 and the Bishop Ford looking good. Big Shore Drive and the Elgin O'Hare Expressway fine as well. On the tollway, Tri-State, Jane Addams, Reagan Memorial, Veterans Memorial clear. So is Route 53 and I-80. 8094, the Chicago Skyway, Indiana Toll, and I-65, all moving at posted speeds. This traffic report is being brought to you by Dick's Sporting Goods. Get to Dick's Sporting Goods now for the annual tent sale going on now. Major savings across all categories, deals on apparel, footwear, hunting, fishing, camping equipment, and more. Hurry in. Items are selling out quickly, and the sale ends soon. AM 560 weather right now. It is about 63 degrees and partly cloudy skies. Our next update's in 15 minutes on AM 560, The Answer.
You've already upgraded your cell phone to a smart device, which lets you use the internet to be more productive on the go. But what about your desk phone? Nextiva is a smart business phone system in the cloud. With a simple setup through an internet connection, you can soon have access to your office communications wherever you are. Stay seamlessly connected with clients and stay more mobile than ever before for just one low monthly cost. Give your business more than just a basic desk phone. Visit Nextiva.com or call 800-799-0600 to learn more today. Nextiva. Simplifying your business communications. Thinking of starting your own business? Get on board for a crazy ride. Be the first person to tweet Barry at Barry Moltz and get a free copy of his book, You Need to Be a Little Crazy, The Truth About Starting and Growing Your Own Business. You will need the company.
Four new employees.
A 20% increase in revenue.
Being one of the 9 million women business owners in the U.S.
These are your proudest numbers, your landmarks of growth and success. Sage helps you achieve business milestones with cloud and software solutions that lead to deeper financial insights. Believe in your numbers. See what Sage can do for your business. Visit believeinyournumbers.com today.
Thinking of starting your own business? Get on board for a crazy ride. Be the first person to tweet Barry at Barry Moltz and get a free copy of his book, You Need to Be a Little Crazy, The Truth About Starting and Growing Your Own Business. You will need the company. Thinking of starting your own business? Get on board for a crazy ride. Be the first person to tweet Barry at Barry Moltz and get a free copy of his book, You Need to Be a Little Crazy, The Truth About Starting and Growing Your Own Business. You will need the company.
When a loved one needs home care, you suddenly find yourself facing a million different issues. It can become overwhelming, demanding huge amounts of your time, energy, and resources. So much to consider. There's a special company founded right here in Chicagoland that truly deserves serious consideration for your loved one's care. Bright Star Care offers senior home care services that carry the highest gold emblem Joint Commission accreditation, just like the top medical care facilities. Equally important, Bright Star Care considers and treats every client like part of their own family. Bright Star helps you cut through the red tape and make smart, informed decisions to give you true peace of mind. Discover for yourself why over 90% of Bright Star clients would recommend them to friends and family. Call Bright Star Care today at 847-510-5750. That's 847-510-5750. Bright Star Care, a higher standard of home care. 847-510-5750.
Now, back to Business Insanity Talk Radio. It's time to get your small business unstuck on AM 560. The Answer. Once again, here's Barry Maltz.
Well, have you ever seen a really cool invention and said, well, I wish I'd really thought of that? Or seen a cool gag toy and said, that's a great idea? Well, my next guest did exactly that. Jonah White is the founder of Billy Bob Teeth Incorporated. Jonah was born to a pair of rebellious, peace-loving activists who met after being arrested for protesting a nuclear testing project. Having grown up on a Native American reservation, Jonah's father taught him a deep appreciation for nature and how to live off the land that surrounds you. During a visit to his college alma mater, Jonah met sophomore dental student Rich Bailey, who was wearing a pair of fake teeth that he mocked up in class. Jonah marveled at the way the simple gag caused people's faces just to light up with glee. Jonah knew he had stumbled upon something great, and the Billy Bob Teeth Company was born. Jonah is currently hosting Billy Bob's Gags to Riches on Discovery Channel. Jonah, welcome to the show.
Hey, how you doing, Barry?
I'm doing
well.
Thanks for having me. So talk about how you were able to accomplish what a lot of people would think the American dream and really sell over 20 million. It's hard to believe 20 million Billy Bob teeth.
Yeah, I know. You know what? It's surprising to me, Barry. You never know what something's potential is until you completely exhaust every resource that you possibly can. And my goal was to sell a million pair of Billy Bob teeth and retire at age 30. And I'm 45 years old, and I've sold 20 million, and I'm still working. So I don't really understand how that all played out, but that's my deck of cards.
What really made this Billy Bob teeth really work when so many other gags really fail? What was the key here?
The key to it working was failure just wasn't an option. And this item was not easy to get off the ground and get. I started the company with $400, which was my entire net worth. And I didn't even have a car, and I was living at home with my parents. And it was difficult, you know, teaching someone that putting fake teeth that look ugly in your mouth
exactly.
is going to be fun and cool and worth, you know, pulling $20 out of your wallet for. It wasn't easy to do. There was no fake teeth market when I began doing this.
There's a surprise. There's a surprise. No fake teeth market.
Yeah, there wasn't. There was no fake teeth category in any major retailer until my company came on the scene.
So what did you do to make it successful?
Well, the key is, Barry, is embrace the fact that it's going to be hard. And embrace the fact that it's being successful, making money, being happy, having an awesome life. These things aren't easy to do. And we all, you know, we're in the best country in the world to do this. And most people think that, you know, that some guy just shows up after they invent something with a tuxedo on a platter with a check on it for him. And it just doesn't work that way. And it's just a lot of hard work. And, you know, you have to adapt to the market. You know, the market's constantly changing. And, you know, there is no such thing as a five-year business plan.
Sure, of course.
I mean, it's just ridiculous.
So what would you say the turning point was for Billy Bob Teeth when you said, you know, I'm going to sell a million copies. I'm going to sell 5 million. I'm going to sell 10 million.
I think the turning point happened about 1998 when I kind of had to make a soul-searching decision. Do I want to just sell out and retire, and do I want to make a real business out of this? And about that time, my wife was pregnant with our oldest child, and I decided to put fake teeth on a baby pacifier. And so my first line extension came out in 1998, which is about 3.5 years after we started the company. And so I've sold about 5 million baby pacifiers, and actually they outsell my my nasty, ugly Billy Bob teeth that I'm doing right now per unit sold. And I sell them all over the world in probably 20, 25 countries.
And so fake teeth are funny no matter what the language is, right?
Yep, no matter what the language is.
And so a lot of people see on TV and they probably ask you, you know, I want to be a successful inventor. What does it really take?
You know, it takes being different. And it takes, I do a bit of motivational speaking, and I've spoke to thousands and thousands of inventors that are all excited. And they don't understand how to channel their resources and their energy. And they throw everything. They have an incredible first quarter, and they're shot the rest of the game, you know. Mm-hmm. And they don't save anything to after halftime, and they definitely can't kick field goals. And they don't look at they think that just because they love something 100%, they'll make it work, and they don't think meticulously about it, and they don't think about it like business. They fall in love with their items. They're blind to new opportunities with it, because the opportunities that are happening in real life aren't what they envision in their mind, because they have this idea, this fairy tale already made up in their minds. This is how it's going to go. The reality is, none of us know how it's going to go.
Absolutely.
And you have to be open minded, and you have to react. And if your favorite unit of the five pieces that you're making is the worst selling one, then stop doing it. But, you know, don't put your resources into this one.
Absolutely. And, well, Jonah, that's all the time we have. Where can people get in touch with you?
Go to BillyBobProducts.com. That's our website. That's the best way to get us.
Jonah, thanks so much for being on the show.
Thank you, Barry.
We'll be right back. We're going to talk about how to get your business unstuck and how to take your business next level. This is the year where you own your business and don't have it own you. This is AM 560, The Answer. We'll be right back.
Stuck in traffic? We've got the answer from the ChicagoRadioDeals.com Traffic Center.
I'm George Cotsarillos, taking a look at your traffic. Not a lot going on right now on the Edens and Kennedy. Eisenhower outbound still closed down at Mannheim due to an earlier crash. Crash has the inbound side shut down as well, but at St. Charles, Stevenson, 34 each way between 355 and Lakeshore Drive. Dan Ryan, I-57 to Bishop Port, all clear. Lakeshore Drive, Elgin O'Hare Expressway, same thing. Out of the tollways, Tri-State, Jane Addams, Reagan Memorial, and Veterans Memorial doing just fine. Route 53 and I-80, same thing. 8094, I-94 in Indiana, the Chicago Skyway, Indiana Toll Road, and I-65 moving at posted speeds. You see Robert going on to the Tri-State southbound at Toohey, and Jane Addams with two right lanes closed off. AM 560 weather right now, it is about 63 degrees and fair skies. Our next update is in 15 minutes on AM 560, The Answer.
You've already upgraded your cell phone to a smart device, which lets you use the internet to be more productive on the go. But what about your desk phone? Nextiva is a smart business phone system in the cloud. With a simple setup through an internet connection, you can soon have access to your office communications wherever you are. Stay seamlessly connected with clients and stay more mobile than ever before for just one low monthly cost. Give your business more than just a basic desk phone. Visit Nextiva.com or call 800-799-9600 to learn more today. Nextiva, simplifying your business communications. Thinking of starting your own business? Get on board for a crazy ride. Be the first person to tweet Barry at Barry Moltz and get a free copy of his book, You Need to Be a Little Crazy, The Truth About Starting and Growing Your Own Business. You will need the company.
My proudest number is 2005. That's the year I started my business. It was just me for 2 years, and then I hired my first employee.
My proudest number is 20. Last year, I saw a 20% increase in revenue. We got our first six-figure check, too.
My proudest number is 36. That's how many new clients I've signed. And next quarter, I'll double it.
My proudest number is 42. I was 42 when I became one of the 9 million women business owners in the U.S., and I never looked back.
These are your proudest numbers.
your landmarks of growth and success. Sage Cloud and Software Solutions help you achieve these milestones by providing deeper insights into all your numbers. So believe in them. Believe in your numbers. See what Sage can do for your business. Visit believeinyournumbers.com today to learn more.
Stick around and get your small business unstuck. More of Business Insanity Talk Radio with Barry Maltz. Now on AM 560, The Answer.
Unfortunately, a part of small businesses that people out there lie. The question is, why do they lie? How can we tell if they're lying and what should we do about it? Here to help is Lena Cisco. She's a former military interrogator at Guantanamo Bay, has interrogated numerous detained members of Al-Qaeda and the Taliban. She wanted to teach these skills to Defense Department personnel for years afterwards. She now has a new book out there. It's called You're Lying, Secrets from an Expert Military Interrogator to Spot the Lies and Get the Truth. Lena, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Barry.
And I mean that sincerely. I'm not lying.
I believe you.
So first thing was that you were a female interrogator at Guantanamo Bay. Did that help you or did that hurt you?
It helped me. I get that question all the time. What was it like being a female? And I have to say, being a 5'4", 120-pound female coming into the booth, I'm non-threatening. And even though people would say, yes, but don't they disrespect females, not American females in a military uniform. So I was considered a third gender. So I got a lot of respect, I got a lot of rapport, and I got a lot of confessions.
Wow. And so in general, in everyday life, why do people lie?
Oh, gosh, there's a whole bunch of reasons. I tell everybody that we all lie, no matter who we are and how good of a person we think we are, because it's just human nature. But we lie for a whole bunch of reasons, and they're not all malicious. So sometimes we lie to protect ourselves. Sometimes we lie to protect others. Sometimes we lie to make ourselves or others look good. Sometimes we lie to avoid arguments.
Now, some people would say that I'm not really lying. I'm just really shading the truth. So
right.
How do you figure out what are some of the telltale signs of people lying? Because some people are really good at it and some people, like my son, are really bad.
Yeah. So before I get into some signs, I'll tell you that there's three types of lies. So one is the false statement. It's just a simple lie. The second one is lying by embellishment. How many people do that on a resume?
Guilty.
And then the third one is lying by omission. That one is very, very common. And it's easy to do because, in a sense, we don't have to say a lie. We just hide the truth and never talk about it. So that one's pretty easy. And then you have two types of liars. So like you said, your son's a bad liar. Well, because he's a normal liar. Everyday liars get nervous when we lie. We don't like it. So we exhibit signs of stress and anxiety, and those are those physiological signs that our body is producing. And so a lot of that, we look for those tells or those signs in liars because it's indicating stress and anxiety. But then you have a powerful liar, they don't have any of that. They get off on lying. In fact, their cognitive thinking increases when they lie, and they become more confident and powerful. So those guys are very hard to catch. But some tells that we would look for in everyday liars, and you may see some in your son, are typical ones. So some people do not like to look people in the eye when they lie. So they'll avert an eye gaze. But not everybody. So you have to baseline people. Sometimes people have a duping delight smile across their face.
Right.
Almost this little teeny smile that's inside their head, they're saying, I'm getting away with a lie. They know it. So they leak this little smile in a micro expression.
And
so that's a common one.
Lena, let me ask you a question because, of course, we've all watched a lot of movies and people getting interrogated. Do people's pupils actually change size when they lie?
I don't know about that. What I do know about the pupils is that they will get bigger to take in something that's pleasing to the eye. So if you think of like princess characters that Disney creates or dolls that, kids have, what do you notice about their eyes? They're huge. It's because number one, it makes them more attractive. And then number two, when we see somebody's pupils increase, we see that they are liking what they're taking in. So almost like we're attractive to them.
Right. I understand that. So,
yeah.
So if you find someone that is lying, how do you extract the truth? And I know that in small business, we can't probably do it the way you guys did it at Guantanamo. Right. But what are your recommendations?
So in the book, I teach how everybody in business can extract the truth. So there's a lot of ways to control a conversation, to properly ask questions. That's your key ingredient. If you cannot ask a proper question, you're not going to get the answer you need, and you're not going to uncover the truth.
So give us an example.
So you always want to start a question with a basic interrogative, because if you start one with an interrogative, it's going to give you a narrative response. You're not going to get a vague answer. You're not going to get a yes or no. But on the contrary, if you suspect someone's lying, and I love this question, I always go to it, I purposely ask a yes or no question. If they cannot answer me yes or no within three tries, there's a reason why. And the reason is you don't want to tell me. It's probably because you're lying about some information.
So if you catch someone in a lie, what should you do?
That's a good question, because do you call them out on it and say, ha-ha, I got you, you're lying? Or do you kind of wait and kind of let them say, okay, I lied to you? It's situation-dependent, because if you're going to come out and be accusatory, you're going to lose rapport, and you do not want to do that with coworkers or employees or team members. So you have to be very, very careful. And sometimes you have to let the person say, you know what, okay, I was lying. I didn't tell you all the truth because of X, Y, Z. And in this case, you can still maintain that professional relationship.
So tell us a little about where we can get the book, You're Lying, Secrets from an Expert Military Interrogator, Spot the Lies and Get the Truth.
You can get it on Amazon. You can get it at Barnes & Noble. And I know there's a Kindle version out as well.
Lena, thanks so much for being on the show.
Thanks for having me.
This was one of the best interviews I've ever done.
You're
and
lying.
And that's the truth. Lena, thanks so much.
Thank you, Barry.
Coming up, did you want to invent the next pet rock? We'll have the person that's just done that learn about how Billy Bob Teeth made this guy millions. This is AM 560, The Answer. We'll be right back.
Thinking of starting your own business? Get on board for a crazy ride. Be the first person to tweet Barry at Barry Moltz and get a free copy of his book, You Need to Be a Little Crazy, The Truth About Starting and Growing Your Own Business. You will need the company. Thinking of starting your own business? Get on board for a crazy ride. Be the first person to tweet Barry at Barry Moltz and get a free copy of his book, You Need to Be a Little Crazy, The Truth About Starting and Growing Your Own Business. You will need the company.
The journey into entrepreneurship is no easy feat, but the reward is like no other. Just ask entrepreneur Nelly Acow, founder and CEO of CorpNet.com, who's been a business owner since 1997. CorpNet can help you start a business, incorporate your business, form an LLC, file a DBA, and file many other important business documents in all 50 states. To get started, call their team today for a free business consultation. Call 888-752-0363 or visit CorpNet.com.
Imagine buying a house and getting a second one for free, or purchasing the new car of your dreams and receiving a second identical car free. Okay, maybe a free second My Pillow isn't as dramatic, but sleeping well and waking up energized is pretty important. I've been telling you for a while now, I get my best sleep ever with My Pillow. With the buy one, get one offer, you can basically get and give the gift of a great night's sleep. My Pillow helps with snoring, headaches, neck pain, insomnia, allergies, all types of ailments. That's why it was named the official pillow of the National Sleep Foundation. For the My Pillow buy one get one free offer, use the promo code Amy. Plus, you can get 50% off those pillow toppers and other products. Visit mypillow.com or call 800-489-0201. Remember to use the promo code Amy. Do it now. 800-489-0201 or online at mypillow.com. 800-489-0201.
Now, back to Business Insanity Talk Radio. It's time to get your small business unstuck on AM 560. The Answer. Once again, here's Barry Moltz.
We're going to talk next about who is a better professional investor, men or women. Here to help with surprising new research is Meredith Jones. She's an internationally recognized researcher, writer, speaker, and expert in the alternative investment industry. She's known for creating industry-leading hedge fund research. Meredith, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
All right, so who's better?
Well, it would appear that men and women invest very differently, and women have a unique skill set that helps them to generate very high returns over time and also minimize volatility.
Oh, I think my investment advisor is in trouble.
Well, I hope not, because it's always a good idea to have a blend of different behaviors. I'm not advocating that people dump their male investment professionals, but perhaps just consider adding some women to the mix so that you get some different types of interactions with the market.
So, Meredith, talk about how their investment strategies might differ and how they get different results.
Okay. So if you think about it, women are biologically very different than men. And so their hormonal makeup and their brain structure actually causes them to have different thought patterns and different behavioral patterns when it comes to investing. Some of these may include that they may tend to be less overconfident than men. They may invest in investments that are more off the beaten path. They have a tendency to hold investments longer. They trade less. And when you combine all of these factors together, what tends to happen is that you end up with a very attractive return profile.
And so how do you, one of the things that you suggest is obviously people try to diversify their investments, you know, different kinds of assets. But how do you, as you say, diversify, including investment behavior? How do I identify that in a particular investment advisor?
Well, again, gender is a good measure of how that behavior is going to be different. It's very ingrained in the different genders. Men have a very specific tend to have a very specific set of investment behaviors, where women's are unique as well. And so, as you look to maximize your returns, having exposure to both sets of those behavior can be very profitable for people in the long run. So I would just say that you should look for investment professionals that maximize your best features, minimize your worst habits, and therefore generate the best returns for you over time.
Now, Meredith, you believe that having more women at the top of the investment world will really benefit us all. Tell us about that.
I do think that. Right now, we're at about 5% of the people on Wall Street that are taking risk with capital are women. It's really quite low. And so as a result, the investment world is dominated by one specific set of behaviors and cognitive practices. If there were more women taking risk with capital on Wall Street and managing money, what we would tend to see is decreased volatility for everybody because, again, those patterns would tend, the behavioral patterns would tend to cancel one another out to some degree.
And so if in the 30 seconds we have left, if a woman wants to get ahead in the field, what does she have to do?
Well, I think that part of this is really just the realization that women do have a strong economic contribution to make to investments. And so as Wall Street recognizes this, as investors recognize this, I think that more women will be recruited to the industry and it will become much more attractive for them as a career choice.
Meredith, thanks for being on the show. I got to go because I got to call my investment advisor.
Okay, thank you.
You can reach Meredith at www.aboutmjones.com. Well, that's it for this episode of Business Sanity Talk Radio. I want to thank our sponsors, Sage One and Nextiva. Special thanks to our booking producer, Sarah Schaffern, our producer behind the glass, Debbie Schreiner. If you're serious about getting your small business unstuck this year, give me a call, 773-837-8250. That's my cell phone. Or you can contact me at my personal email at barry@moltz.com or www.barrymoltz.com/unstuck. Isn't this the year that you move your company forward? Isn't this the year that you start owning your business instead of it owning you? Remember, love everyone, trust a few, and paddle your own canoe. Have a very profitable and passionate week.
You can find Barry on the web at barrymoltz.com. You've been listening to Business Insanity Talk Radio.